cliffcentral.com.
What's up? Hello, good morning.
Yay!
Yeah, as they say, the classic rather late than never. Good morning. Hope you're doing very, very well. I have with me Mabalina Loy. Morning, Maps.
Good morning, Ben.
And Sia Sangwenifin. 2 days in a row, just when you thought he was in the darkness, here he is.
Absolutely. I'm just like, I'm the surprise who keeps on giving and giving while other people are like, damn it, he's back.
But you know what, Sia? Now this opens up a can of worms. It's going to be like one of those relationships. Like, what are we? Are we back? Are you coming back? Is this just friends with benefits?
True.
Yeah.
Oh, am I like a child from divorced parents with visitation rights? Goodness, I didn't think of that.
Look, we're happy to have you, Sia, but expectations have to be managed, right? I mean, is this going to be an ongoing thing?
Let's do it like a half hour at a time. I'll be able to give you an update at 6:30. I might not be here at 7.
Jeez.
I'll be back at 7:30.
That's very unpredictable. I don't know how I feel about that.
Spices things up. We're just spicing up our sex life. That's what we're doing here. Think of it that way.
Okay,
I shall. Today is some day in January. It's a Tuesday.
It's the 10th.
There we go. And today we have Parks Tau. Okay, now if you remember Parks Tau from last year, he was one of those mayors where everyone was like, "Oh, he's got to stay in his job. He's so good. He's one of the NC guys. Everyone loves that kind of stuff."
Mm-hmm.
And then Herman Mashaba took his spot.
Yes, he did.
Because that's democracy, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, after the elections, the DA had the majority votes or the majority numbers. And so poor Mayor Parks Tau had to make way for the new mayor, Herman Mashaba. So he'll be joining us this morning. Does anybody want to address the elephant in the room?
Oh, right.
Okay, I'll do it. So a few minutes ago, we noticed that one Gareth Cliff is not here yet. So I phoned him. And just to give an idea of how the phone call went, I said hello. From his side, it was expletive, expletive. Grunting, screaming, I can't believe I've done this on the second day. So I said, all right, pull yourself together. We'll see you here. I don't know what time, because, you know, we're back into the thick of Joburg traffic,
yes.
Aren't we?
Pretty much, yeah.
School's open tomorrow, right?
Ooh.
So there might sort of just be
okay. All right.
A bit of a gap.
So he'll be a little bit late, mm-hmm. Our Gareth.
On a slight side note, to tell you what, who aren't late, apparently the Cape Town airport is the most punctual in the country.
Oh.
See, that's our way of moving on.
Segue, look at you.
What does that mean, though? Does that mean that you're likely to find the least number of delayed flights? Is that what they mean by being the most punctual?
Pretty much, yeah. So if you want to get good places on time, which is the topic of this moment right now, Cape Town airport, you guys are winning. Killing it.
All right.
Right, so that's the show we got today. We've got Parks Tau, our big guest. I think Jane is pre-interviewing him, which is something that I'm nervous about. So I can only imagine how nervous he would be if he knew this was happening to him today.
He should be honored, not nervous.
Well, it is. But I mean, I get interrogated every single day by Jane.
Yeah.
I've actually got to play you something. You know, Jane is, well, she's in love with my girlfriend, which isn't like too much of a stretch. She's very pleasant to Daniela.
Well, I mean, a lot of people really are kind of obsessed with Daniela. She's a gorgeous person inside and out.
So yesterday, Jane, she doesn't say, hello, Ben, how are you? It's like, how's Daniela? Because that's how it is, isn't it? Because Daniela came into the studio last year and she gave Jane a nice Christmas present.
Mm.
And now they're besties. So then Jane says eventually, look, I want to send your girlfriend a message. So now she wants to actually now be on daily chatting terms. This is what she had to say yesterday.
Hi, Danielle. It's Jane. Thank you so much for the present. I love everything. You know what? When I finish to bath that soap, I just smell so nice. Happy New Year to you too. I wish to see you this week, actually, not next week, because my tummy just grew up so fast, but Ben is giving me a funny things here. Please, can you talk to him?
It's mostly incoherent, right?
What's her name?
Jane, actually.
No, what's my girlfriend's name?
Danielle.
It's Daniela. Chief is Jane.
Daniela. What's her name? Daniela. Daniela.
Yeah, get it right.
Daniela. Hi, Danielle. I love you so much.
So then she goes through the whole process and then she still gets
goes
the name
back
wrong.
To Danielle.
Oh, Jane, she's so special. But she every single time she just reminds me now, how do you have a girlfriend like that?
I just cruised past it in the beginning because I thought they were on like nickname basis. Like I just heard Danielle's in the beginning. So yeah.
Well, the thing about Jane is you always know where you stand with her. So, I mean, it is very clear that it is very clear that she doesn't, she does not like Ben as much as she likes Daniela.
I'm starting to think she just does not like me, which I'm also like totally okay with because I'm not for everyone.
Yeah. it's perfectly
fine.
Perfectly fine.
Anyways, the show will go on as usual today. Steve will be here with lots of tidbits and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Steve, are you happy with the word tidbits in your sentence about you?
You know, it's neither here nor there, Ben.
Fair enough. My buddy has lots of interesting stories and funny things. Anthony will be talking about money, which is something none of us really have right now because of the holidays. Boo-hoo-hoo, but we'll get through it. And I've got a load of sports. So much. But I think seeing as Gareth's away, we'll do what we want here. So I'm going to play one of my favorite songs from last year.
It's not one of those slow jams.
This year, it's Mac Miller with Dang.
Damn.
Damn right.
I can't keep on losing you.
It's a great way to start the day, yeah? What a song, yeah?
Dang.
That is the song.
I actually kind of like the song, hey?
It's great.
But this is the problem that I have, and I just recently discovered this. I can't really dance all that well. Mm. And recently now my dance move have turned very Ellen DeGeneres-esque. It's so embarrassing.
Mm-mm. That is definitely going in the wrong direction.
I'm now doing like head bops and shoulder. Oh, it's just a mess.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe it's the right music. So maybe you need to listen to different music and you get your groove back.
More like Dang. That's what'll get my groove back.
Anyway, speaking of grooves, you either have your own or you try to steal someone else's. So Mubs has found this really great clip. Before we get into it, it's got to do with the Ghanaian president. Now, he might not mean anything to you right now, but he will in a couple minutes' time. But you remember this happened a while ago.
Is your bond that you do what you...
Sorry, Michelle Obama, right? We all know who she is. She was the first lady with Barack.
Mm.
You work hard for what you want in life. That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do.
So she made speeches, okay? Good speeches, good words. And then there was Melania Trump, who... Well, she just thought Michelle was so good. I'll just say what she said.
My parents impressed on me the values that you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise,
that you treat people with...
So a reminder, this is not the same speech. They're not doing a duo. This is just Michelle's speech and then Melania's afterwards.
Dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them.
That you treat people with respect. They taught and showed me values and morals in their daily life. That is a lesson that I continue to pass along to our son. And we need to pass those lessons on to the many generations to follow.
To her credit, she wasn't reading, okay? She memorized Michelle's speech down. So, Mubs, who's this Ghanaian person?
So, this was supposed to be a big deal because back in December already, this man from the official opposition party in Ghana, who had lost twice before leading up to these elections, took victory in December, and his name is President Nana Akufo-Addo. But unfortunately, his shine was taken away over the weekend when he did his inaugural address. Well, I mean, you decide.
Okay, oh, no. So the voices you're about to hear, along with Ghanaian president, are George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. Two people that this guy obviously holds in high regard.
I ask you to be citizens.
I ask you to be citizens.
Citizens, not spectators.
Citizens, not spectators.
Citizens, not subjects.
Citizens, not subjects.
Responsible citizens building communities of service and a nation of character.
Responsible citizens building your communities and our nation.
You got to hand it to Melania. At least she jazzed it up a little bit.
You know, she ad-libbed a little bit. She kind of threw in her own thing, you know, started speaking about her son as opposed to Michelle speaking about her daughters. Sure. My question here, though, is, guys, you're sitting at home, you're listening to President Nana Akufo deliver this speech. At what point does it ring a bell, or, hey, but I've heard this one before? Because I would be none the wiser.
Well, exactly.
If this didn't start trending on Twitter over the weekend, I would not have known who the new president of Ghana was plagiarizing from parts of George W. Bush and Bill Clinton's speeches. Okay, well,
let's hear a bit more. This is Bill.
Though our challenges are fearsome, so are our strengths.
Though our challenges are fearsome, so are our strengths.
Americans have ever been a restless, questing, hopeful people.
Ghanaians have ever been a restless, questing, hopeful people.
And we must bring to our task today the vision and will of those who came before us.
And we must bring to our task today the vision and will of those who came before us.
So, two questions.
I have more than two questions.
You got to think, okay, so this dude's scriptwriter.
Speechwriter, yeah.
Speechwriter. Was he tasked with the speech and then he went home and got goofed and thought, you know what? I'm just going to use these.
Yeah.
Just done
I've
this.
Got this book of great American speeches. No one's going to know the difference.
I don't know if there's, you know, a folder that all these speech writers have of past speeches that they, you know, that they get access to, and then they try and take parts from different speeches because they think, oh, no, this one really sounded good. Or if they just do a Google search and say, yeah, this will do.
But then, like, does the new president, is he reading this and going, gee, this is solid, this is great, I'm going to be remembered for this? Or is he going, oh, this is so word for word everything that Bill and George W. said?
See, what's scary to me is there are so many levels to this, you know. So there's a speechwriter, I'm pretty certain. There's an executive speechwriter, then goes to a PA or secretary. Then there's someone, a deputy vice president, like, so many people involved in something like this, and nobody
you would think, yeah,
would say, no, this sounds so good. Are you sure nothing has happened, or you Google a certain quote and nobody picked it up?
Yeah, look, they obviously thought that they could get away with it, but, you know, which then goes back to my original question. Who actually sits there and then remembers, no, guys, we've heard this one before?
Mm.
Because the only reason that this is now in the news is because somebody took the time to go and find, you know, clips from George Bush and Clinton, edit them strategically so that, you know, they were able to show, the speech has been plagiarized.
But Mabale, sometimes some things are too good to be true. If I've only written roses are red, violets are blue, now I bring you a Maya Angelou-esque poem. Wouldn't you also say, Mycia, you've progressed in 3 weeks?
Okay, well, let's just see. Let's just hear how the Ghanaian president finishes off his speech.
Oh.
Have a dream.
Oh.
One dream. Day,
this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all...
He changed his pitch a bit, but he obviously got a lot more into it. Okay, looks like he's settling in for a big one. Let's leave that. It's news time, and the news, as always, is brought to you by Calcacchio Pizzeria. It's a new year, but it's the same old great service, great taste, great ingredients, great everything. It is still my favorite pizza, and it's the precursor to Mabali Maloy's news, which is something which you cannot miss. So, Mabs, 2017, theme tune must come back. Beautiful. What we got?
All right. So, new year indeed. But for those matric pupils who did not pass the 2016 National Certificate exams, they are off to a rough start already, right? Because they're thinking, oh my goodness, what happens to me next? Now, they are already being urged by the Department of Basic Education to rewrite their exams. And this will be through the Second Chance Matric Support Program. I don't know if any of you guys are aware of this.
Is this a new thing?
I think it's definitely new since, you know, again, the Cretaceous era, Ben, when you and I were in matric.
Oh, wow.
So basically, what happens is that pupils wanting to take advantage of the opportunity will have the opportunity to do so. What they need to do is they need to contact their nearest education district office. They'll need to have done this before March the 15th so that they can register to write. But they will write in November of 2017. They'll write the November examinations, right? The program, which has come up with ideas to assist pupils, will include face-to-face classes. They will be available at 50 venues, which are mostly situated in rural and semi-rural areas. And this will allow for examinations to be written in June and November. So the Department of Basic Education already urging, you know, these pupils who didn't make it to register by March so that they'll be able to rewrite their national certificate.
That's almost like a walk of shame here, because I know school's difficult and everyone's got different life things happening in their life. You know, it could be really difficult things like kids involved, you know, because I remember my sister was in school. Her best friend she was swanger in matric.
Pregnant. She was.
And you got to think, like, you know, we look at these.
Swanger. I also needed a second there.
Needed a moment.
You know, we look at these things and go, okay, you didn't pass matric. How hard can it be? You go back to this thing, do it again. But I mean, everyone's got hectic stuff going on in life. So it's nice there is a second chance at least. But wow, what a drawn out process, eh?
Yeah, just completely.
Just a march right in June.
You know, I over the December period, I would often watch my nephews and nieces and their cousins playing. And I mean, these are toddlers, like 3-4 years old. And when things would happen to them, like when they lost their ball, they would completely cry and felt like the world had come to an end. And I noticed, you know, there are a lot of people who were trying to give matric advice over the period when matric results were released. And, you know, people try to be encouraging to those pupils who did fail. But I always think to myself, in that moment, these kids probably feel like literally their whole world has collapsed and come to an end, especially with all the emphasis that we place on matric final results and the pressure that we put on these kids to be able to perform. So I can only imagine what, you know, those kids are going through at the moment, because it's not easy. You're right, Ben. It really is not easy.
But yeah, second chances. Well, everyone needs them, you know. Everyone needs them.
All right. So from matric news to a bit of criminal news, if you will. You know, lighthearted criminal news this time around, because yes, you know, we often hear stories about all the different kinds of criminal activities in South Africa and we love to complain about the crime. But two criminals did grab the headlines yesterday for reasons, you know, other than the fact that they were actually committing crimes. We'll begin with a car guard who has now been dubbed Hatfield's dumbest criminal. And this is because he broke into somebody's car over the weekend, and then the owner of the car caught him in the act, and so he locked him into the car. And that is how he got caught.
Classy. Oh, great.
The owner is a 22-year-old motorist who had parked his vehicle in Hatfield. And the driver had difficulties locking the car. This is when they talk about those jamming signals that they use, right?
Yes. Right, yeah.
You leave, you try to lock your car, it doesn't lock because somebody's standing there with a signal getting ready to pounce on you, you know, once you've walked away. So this is what happened in this instance, in this incident. And so the driver had difficulties, decided to give up, walked away. 10 minutes later, the driver comes back, finds an unknown man in his vehicle who's kind of rummaging around in the vehicle. I don't know, possibly, you know, looking for, I don't know, a laptop or something of value that they can steal. The driver managed to remain clear-headed and so just locked him in the car and then phoned the authorities. And that is how this guy got caught. So that is the first incident.
Well, I also have a bit of a story about a stupid thief. I don't know what's going on right now, but this just happened in Parktown of all places. So there were two men who were arrested around like 3 a.m. by security guards in Greenside after they allegedly stole gate remote controls. Number one, what are you even doing stealing gate remote controls?
You want access into the...
And then what? That seems like it's stopping the whole process. But then police took these two guys in and they were charged. However, one of them managed to actually escape from police custody. So this 23-year-old, nobody still really knows how he escaped. But nonetheless, police then started giving chase. And the man actually fell and injured his right leg and his right hand in the process. But he thought, you know what? Still got to do this. I'm on the run. I can do this. And he subsequently jumped into the zoo lake.
Oh, yes. I don't know. Yes, I heard this. Yeah.
that was the perfect place to hide. And the truth of the matter is, our friend here cannot swim, and so he drowned.
Yeah.
Police divers managed to retrieve the body around 8 a.m. on Monday. So, I don't know. Our criminals aren't that smart, really.
We like it every now and again when things turn on criminals and, you know, they get their own back in various ways. So
yeah, it's like those shows. I'm not sure what channel it is, but it's like World's Dumbest Criminals.
Yes.
And there's literally a show. So there's all this dash cam. And it's relentless. I'm sure it's one of the channels. I think it's Sony something or other.
Yeah, 1T8.
It's on every day. World's Dumbest Criminals. Most of them come from Russia because they're just drunk. Like in Russia, you forget. If you want to do something, you've actually got to be sober from time to time. But they just, oh, well, I'm drunk again, damn it. But I'm still going to do this because this is what I was doing today. I was going to rob this bank.
Yeah.
I just love where you go, I can't swim, but I'm still going to give it a chance. Just jump into the water.
All right, and then in some international news, now people started calling this earlier on, you know, predicted it, started asking questions of, how long before Donald Trump starts moving his many, many children that he's had with many different women into various positions now that he's going to become the president. He is the president-elect. He will be inaugurated later on this month. Now, think about your own family for a second and tell me honestly if nepotism wouldn't also, you know, be something that would feature in the greater scheme of things. Because Donald Trump has now elected his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, as the new senior White House advisor. He is going to be working on trade in the Middle East, or for the Middle East, rather. You know, a position which Trump announced on Monday, saying that his son-in-law, who is married to Ivanka, he's a tremendous asset and a trusted advisor throughout the campaign. So I ask you the same question because, you know, I can already hear a lot of people saying, oh, nepotism. Mm. But this happens, right? This happens with politicians the world over.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Once you move into the position of power, of course, they are family members of yours or very close friends of yours that you are going to move into those positions for a number of different reasons, you know, possibly because family members are people that you trust the most. So you're thinking, if I can have somebody that I love and trust, why not move them into this position?
But it's quite funny this, because if you go to, like, say, an Italian restaurant and you see, okay, your grandfather started this and then the dad started, they carried it on, and then the cousins and the brothers work, and you go, oh, this is so good to see, you know, good old family
yeah.
business. And this is good wholesome stuff. And then it's like government, nepotism.
Nepotism.
Screw you bitches.
Yeah, exactly. So what's this guy? Jared Kushner. The first of the Trump family to, you know, be rewarded with a nice position from Trump getting ready to assume his position as the president. So we'll see who else in the family benefits.
This is me really trying to be optimistic. And this is me really trying to see the silver lining in the situation. The Trump kids were involved in, or are still involved in, the Trump business.
Yeah, that's the family business that they're involved in.
And look, the business isn't exactly the worst run business in the world, and it does well. And listen, don't shoot me for saying this, but, you know, he runs the organization well with his family. So, hey.
But does he, though, Sia? This is the big point of all his...
I'm not saying he's a great person, but I'm saying...
Well, he doesn't have to be a great person because he's a human, so ultimately he will be flawed.
Oh.
But this whole thing about he's a great businessman, everyone keeps going about the fact that he's obviously not that great.
Look, I have 15 cousins just from my mum's side of the family alone. I'm just saying that, like, this nepotism thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, okay, guys, come in.
But I'd surely still want in. Ivanka first before I want Nana What's-His-Face with the copyright, with the stealing of the speeches. So, yeah, it was inevitable, though.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. We'll definitely also see his sons and daughter at least take up a position as well.
Well, I'll have more headlines for you at around 7 o'clock.
That's very good. We now have time for, you know, retro theme tunes. That's what we're doing today. Yep, it's the sports. Now, I remember FIFA had this whole thing. We've got to make 48 teams in the World Cup, make it a truly global thing.
From 32, right?
Yeah. So basically, they want to go to 48 because they want to give everyone a chance and blah, 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 all honorable things, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it has been revealed that if FIFA make it 48 teams, they can make an extra $1 billion.
Well then.
In a rather confidential report that has been leaked with spreadsheets and numbers, all kinds of things, it has been revealed that 48 teams makes perfect financial sense to FIFA because $1 billion can be generated through extra matches, extra TV rights, extra, 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 extra.
Extra power for FIFA as well.
Yeah, so who would have thought, eh? FIFA, well, they're still in it for the money. This non-profit organization, they're bloody good at making profits. Like, FIFA should run countries. They really should because, I mean, call it what you want. They know how to get bottom lines and they know how to make stuff and they know how to build stuff and they know how to make things run. Not so, always ethically, but they can get bottom lines.
Is this something that is still being discussed that needs to be passed through a voting system still, or is this definitely happening going forward?
I think they'll definitely make it happen because they're quite good like this. And look, they're going to be clever about it because if they've been incentivized to make an extra $1 billion, they're going to have the right lawyers in the right places and the right people voting for the right things. This is a well-oiled machine. These guys have been getting things done for so long.
Yeah.
Trust me. Now that we know it's going to be an extra $1 billion in their coffers, 48 teams. Look forward to it. So, come on, Bafana can make something. Speaking about Bafana making something or not making something, it is AFCON in 4 days' time. So when you think about it, we've been so let down by Bafana Bafana from a South African perspective. It's about this time that we all probably have a second African team that we support, whether it be in World Cups, whether it be in AFCON. So whoever it may be, just a quick look at Group A. Now, Group A is Gabon, Burkina Faso, Cameroon, and Guinea-Bissau. Now, Guinea-Bissau, that sounds like something you order at a restaurant, but it's a small country with 1.6 million people. But they could, be a surprise package because Cameroon don't give a toss about football anymore, basically. All their best players either fake injuries, so they don't have to go there. They can play in the European clubs and just keep making lots of money. And they've also just they've run out of flair. And gone are the days of Roger Miller. Burkina Faso are going to be the overwhelming favourites in Group A. And then Gabon, well, you know, home team, loads of pressure. So Group A is going to be a very exciting group. Now, that starts this Saturday, okay? So 4 days to go. First match is Gabon versus Guinea-Bissau, if I'm not mistaken. That'll be 6 o'clock SA time. But I'll bring you more of that. We'll have a little countdown day by day and I'll give you a little snapshot of the groups, just like I did now. The FA Cup has been drawn for round four. All the big teams have escaped any sort of big opponents, really. Spurs take on Wycombe Wanderers. Derby will have Leicester. Liverpool and Plymouth, whoever wins that one, will take on the might of the Wolverhampton Wanderers. Norwich or Southampton will take on Arsenal. Chelsea get Brentford. Man United have Wigan. Millwall will take on Watford. And the winner of Crystal Palace and Bolton will take on Man City, with Fulham playing Hull. All these matches will take place in the final weekend of Jan. But again, like every single season, people say, well, why do we care about the FA Cup? Jurgen Klopp just put five teenagers in one team to play the FA Cup over the weekend. People are saving themselves. And also, like the second or the first division teams and the lower Premier Division teams, they want to stay in these top leagues. So they're also resting players, so they don't get relegated. Other teams are resting players. I mean, if you look at Liverpool, they're playing League Cup tonight. League Cup. And then Wednesday. Then they've got Man United in the league and the Premier League on Sunday. So you can't be messing around having all your best players going all over the place. But on to the League Cup, Man United will take on Hull. That's at 10 o'clock. And then the next game tomorrow will be Southampton versus Liverpool. There's a semi-final stage. There is two legs to that, and that is for the League Cup, which is still used as big silverware. Yeah. Anyway, yesterday, Patrice Motsepe addressed the media, and it was a big deal because, well, Sundowns, as we know, are an incredibly large club. They won the CAF Champions League, the SA Space Club, and he was kind of outlining a sort of 10-year plan of where the team's going to go. So this wasn't a flash in the pan. This wasn't about just, okay, we won one thing here, we got some extra money, we're going to do all right. He believes, Patrice, because, you know, he's hugely rich and successful.
He's usually.
Hugely.
Oh, hugely,
so,
sorry.
Like, if you go back to Sears' points about the fact that, you know, these people who do have families of wealth and they run things well and know what to do. So when Patrice talks, people generally listen because he's a man that makes things happen. So Keegan Dolly's one of their star players, right? Now he's been linked with a French club, a Greek club. It's a good chance he's going to leave quite soon. Okay, so you don't want to lose your star player, but at the same time, Patrice, who's ever the visionary, says, you know what, we're going to lose players like him all the time, but we're going to attract more players of the same quality. That's what big clubs do, and we can't get too precious. So as long as someone is prepared to pay the buyout clause on Keegan Dolly's contract, he can go wherever. No one's really being upset about this. This is how adults do things. Not going to go and sling mud saying, oh, but you know, we've done this for you, you've got to stay with us. Bullshit. It's professionalism. He's an adult. Go where he wants. As long as all the money is being ticked off here and there, good thing. And he even went as far as saying that star coach, he can also go. He can go coach for Bafana if his patriotic call was given. Nothing yet from that. But Patrice is a man of principle, and he's a man of big pictures. So he believes the next 10 years that Sundowns are going to go from strength to strength, continue to win in the CAF Champions League, and go a little bit further in the FIFA World Club Cup as well.
He's also a man of, you know, just logic. Yes. You know, I agree with you 100%. I don't understand why fans think that it's okay to make these grown adults feel guilty about, you know, making adult choices in their life.
Exactly.
Like, get over yourself.
It's like when your mother takes your teddy bear away for like misbehaving. It's like, well, you get over it. You'll be another teddy bear. Like, life will go on. Speaking of life going on, cricket. Okay, so now we've absolutely hammered Sri Lanka in the test series. There's another test still going, so there'll be one more. Then there's the T20 on the 20th of Jan at Centurion, 22nd of Jan Wanderers, 25th of Jan at Newlands. There'll be T20. Now, a whole bunch of Proteas stars are being rested for the first two games, so much so that Farhan Behardeen is the new captain.
That's a mouthful.
I know, but it's also rageful because people believe he shouldn't be in the team anyway, so now he's been given the captaincy, so people think that CSA are having a laugh. Anyway, good on you, Behardeen time. This is what we all be looking for. So that'll be the first two games. I think only four guys from the T20 World Cup are going to be in that for the first two games anyway. So a whole bunch of new talents coming through. Hugely exciting. And come the third T20 in Newlands, some of the biggest stars will be back. Avery de Villiers might also be back as well. Might. Fingers crossed. In golf, the wet weather is going to basically plague the SA Open, and they've cut the rough right down. So the scoring is going to be pretty low. I'll get into that tomorrow. And of course, if you are a tennis fan, well, the Aussie Open, 16th and 29th of January. Be a very short tournament if it's just the 19th. That's pretty much all the sport for your first hour. More in the second hour. We're going to play one more song because I'm in charge of the desk today and I feel like a song. And then we'll have Anthea talking money after that. Yeah. So you're getting everything you need. Gareth will be here when he's here. You know, just like like Patrice, we can't be too precious about players coming or going.
Yeah.
The show must go on. And go on it will do with Traveling Man, Mos Def.
Oh.
Good song. Yeah. This is all the playlist. I'm not choosing these. Right. See you at the end, bro. So I remember the days when we used to put this playlist on and geez, all kinds of crap would be kicked up here. And we'd go, why is this even on the system? But today, this machine obviously started off with a new year, new him or her.
Yeah, well, you know, with every playlist in the world, Ben, it's never going to satisfy 100% of the people listening in that moment. So, you know, you've just got to take what you get and accept what you don't get.
It's
kind of like how life works.
It is. And as life works, these are the ebbs and flows. Gareth Cliff walked in the door.
Hey.
Gareth, we've got a bit of a problem. We can't seem to have Skype working. As you can see, if you look through this window here, there's four of the most bemused faces you've ever seen in your entire life. And
nobody knows how to get Skype going.
And this is all about Anthea not being able to get Skype. We should have to take a photo of this for Instagram. It's quite something. Everyone's looking at their phones and computers at the same time. Anyway, so...
Give me 2 minutes, I'll sort it out.
All right, well, you know what? While you guys sort yourself out, I don't know if you have noticed the latest trend on social media, because, you know, we love hashtags. And as human beings, we never love to be left out of things, which is why you'll remember things like planking, once upon a time, were a big deal,
and
all sorts of other trends. But the most recent trend that South Africans have been lapping up is hashtag dead pose. And it's exactly what the hashtag explains. You basically take a picture of yourself looking like you're dead. Don't know why, but that's what you do. So there are all sorts of pictures on social media, if you look under this hashtag, of people, you know, kind of hanging from gates, They are lying on logs with bits of raw meat strategically placed on their neck with an axe, also strategically positioned to make it. Basically, it's about making yourself look like you're dead. So, you know, people are hanging out of dustbins. People are kind of lying underneath their cars with bottles of alcohol next to them. It's about making yourself look like you're dead, people. Hashtag dead post. You that know, is the newest trend.
Right. I did that this morning.
Good morning, guys.
No, you were just waking up. You were just hashtag like, overslept.
No, hashtag I'm doing the dead
pose. You were committed to the hashtag.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let me just try and get Anthea on here. I'm gonna call her up on my Skype, so you don't have to worry. But yeah, sorry for second day. Oh God, it's so frustrating. I'll tell you what. My buddy's clearly still on holiday, so I'm not going to make excuses, but I suppose you sometimes acclimatize really quickly, and sometimes it takes you a little bit longer, and I'm definitely taking a little bit longer. All right, let's get Anthea on here, and then we can talk about your money, because I know a lot of people are interested in finding out what's going on with their money this morning, yesterday. As I predicted, all the idiots are back in the stock market, so not a great day on the stock exchange. And let's see, just tell her I'm going to get her on Skype. Okay, not going to take the call because that's stupid. I'll get her on Skype. Just I've got like a bunch of people looking at me through the window here. How many of you are there? 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. All right. Good heavens. Yeah. Oh, I hate this. What a way to start. Let me see if I can get Anthea on and then we can carry on with this. By the way, interesting story about that Ghanaian president, huh?
Shame. Jesus.
What an unfortunate way to start your presidency. Hey, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
Morning. I'm sorry about all the confusion. I predicted yesterday that all the idiots would be back in the stock market, and look what happened.
Oh, you were so spot on. I hate when you're right like that.
No, sorry about that, but there we go. I just saw a lot of red on the screen, so how are we looking?
Yeah. We also had a very surprisingly slow day, only $800 million traded. So it's not like all the idiots were completely back in the market, not with much conviction anyway.
But wait, there are more.
And we started the day fairly strong, I must say. The Rand was a bit weak in the morning, but by mid-morning, the Rand started strengthening again. And as happens with a stronger currency, Rand hedge stocks weakened. We pretty much also had the weight of global markets helping, or not helping, I should say.
Yeah.
And so our market overall, on average, was about 0.33% lower, which means we're still 10 basis points or 0.1% higher for the year. The big global story, of course, yesterday was the weakening British pound, Theresa May. I mean, she continues to make noises about what is now being called the hard Brexit. In other words, that's it. They're done. They're leaving. In fact, Anglo American and Billiton both traded higher in London yesterday, but closed weaker in our local market. And that is pure currency discrepancy. That's all it is.
Right.
Yeah. And then we had not much news on the local front, but still very much a macro story. Oil now below $57 a barrel. It's about $55 a barrel. Yesterday we had U.S. rig count numbers, you know, the oil rigs. They count them to see how many there are, and that's an indication of how much production is being pushed out. The rig count is now the highest it's been in a year, and I think that's got to do with the fact that actually the oil price is higher, and so producers are taking advantage of this higher oil price. And then we've also got, I mean, besides OPEC at the end of last year, deciding that they were going to cut production, we've also got this higher oil price helping shale producers. You know, before kind of, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, shale oil was produced between $65-$80 a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
In the last year and a half, they've brought it down to about 50. So you can imagine that anything above $50 a barrel makes it a viable option to start producing shale gas or shale oil again.
Right.
So I think that's also what's keeping the oil price lower. And then gold is having quite a nice little rally. And I'm not sure if that's got to do with traders looking for safe haven assets. If they're a little bit nervous about the market being as high, and I'm talking about the US now, being as high as it is, you know, all-time highs we're reaching, mm-hmm. or whether it's got something to do with the Chinese Lunar New Year, which is coming up, because that is actually a factor that does drive gold. You know, it's the Indian wedding season and mm-hmm. the Chinese Lunar New Year that actually does push gold up, because so much gold is bought for jewelry and gifts and that sort of thing.
All right. Well, that's an interesting way to surmise whether the gold price is up for good reasons or for artificial ones.
Exactly. Right. It's hard to tell, though.
All right, Anthea, I'm afraid that's all we got time for this morning, but thank you very much. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Pleasure. Have a good day.
Very good. Anthea Gardner, quick look at the markets and quick look at gold and everything else you can find on the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. As you know, all the good stuff is on there. And speaking of the good stuff, that show's also on today. A little bit later on. Okay, we're getting cracking this morning. It is, it's just gone 7 o'clock. I hope you've woken up to a good day. I hope you've woken up to a productive South Africa. I certainly can vouch for the traffic. I woke up late this morning, got onto the roads, and there are trucks, and lots of people. So many trucks here, you have no idea.
Already?
So many. We're gonna cross over to America, though, in a second, and speak to Liron Segev, who is the techie guy. He has been a longtime friend of ours here at cliffcentral.com. He just attended the CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, which is the number one show for anybody who's interested in technology. All the latest tech trends are unveiled there. All the biggest products in terms of stuff that they're trying to flog that is of a tech nature. All the things that make us excited, gadgets and drones and all kinds of other things, are the things that he is excited about there too. So we're going to speak to Liron in the next few minutes. This is cliffcentral.com. Good morning, everybody. I hope it is a good morning. cliffcentral.com.